Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together.
What goals do you have for your children? I'm not talking about when they're grown. I mean right now, while they're with you those 7 or 18 years. What do you hope to accomplish in their lives? Do you have some clear objectives that you're seeking to accomplish? One of the surest ways to never hit a target is not to have one. It's pretty certain if you don't have a goal to work toward, you won't reach it. And so what goals do you have as you look at those children in your home? You say, well, I want them to grow up to be healthy, well-adjusted children and adults who love Jesus. Well, now that's good. But how are you going to accomplish that goal? What are you doing during these 7, 18 years that they're with you to see to it that they do grow up to be healthy, well-adjusted adults that love the Lord Jesus? Well, God has given us in His Word both the goal that we should have for our children and the plan to accomplish that goal. It's found over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So take your Bibles and turn in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We have provided a place in the outline, and let me encourage you to avail yourselves of that to take notes. Help you follow along and have something to take home with you as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Heavenly Father gives us some words that give us His goal, which should be our goal for our children, and the plan. Beginning with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Well, did you see the goal and did you see the plan? The goal is given in verse 5. Our children are to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. That is the goal that we should have for our children. Did you see the plan? The plan is given in verses 6 and 7. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. That is, the words of God, the principles of Scripture. We are to impart the principles of God's Word, the truth of Scripture, to our children. That is the way that they will grow up to love God with all of their heart, soul, and might. Now there are three ways that I think we should impart the Word of God to them. The first one is found in verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons. That is, we are to verbally instruct them in the words of God. There must be that time that you instruct your children verbally in the Word of God. It is not the job of church to do that. It is not the responsibility of the church. And there must be a time that you set aside during the week that you instruct your children in the truth of God. The word teach there is translated other places in the Hebrew Old Testament as sharpen. And you say, well, I don't understand how sharpen fits in. Teach, sharpen. Well, have you ever sharpened a knife on a flintstone? You ever sharpened one? Do you just hit it one time? Or do you continually go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and you work that edge ever so slowly, but ever so surely it becomes sharper, right? Well, that's the principle. It is repetition. You don't just sit them down one time and say, well, this is what God says, and that's it. It is a continual over and over through the years from the time they are very young, even in the cradle, they begin to hear the Word of God. And you over and over and over again instruct them in the truth of God. This idea of repetition, of repeating the process over and over again. Diligently teach your sons. The second process is, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I think this involves the lifestyle. That it should be just natural to talk about the things of God in our home. The way we see the world, from a Christian viewpoint, from the biblical perspective, should be translated to our children, and it will be when it's what's in our heart. We're talking about spending time with your children in order for them to catch your heart for God as you talk about the things of God just in everyday conversations. It should be as natural to talk about God in your home as it is to talk about anything, even more natural than it is to talk about some things like the Braves or whatever. It ought to just be the center of your home, and the conversations of your home ought to just revolve around God without even thinking about it. As they catch your heart for God, you're giving them a biblical worldview for God. Now, in order to do that, you've got to spend time with them. As you sit down, as you walk by the way, that means time. And the problem in our society is we don't have parents spending enough time with children. Did I hear an amen? All right. And we are hurting because of it. The families are hurting in this nation because of it. And we have got to find a way to change this. I realize that many of the businesses demand unreasonable hours from many of you. But we have got to get our priorities right, and we've got to say, no, I'm sorry, I may take a cut in pay, but I am not going to work these many hours. My family, I must spend time with my family. I must spend time to translate the truth of God to them. Now, when I gave the State of the Church address back in April, I did not share with you the one big concern that has burdened my heart since I have been here. I wanted to stress the positive things that God was doing, but there has been one thing that has burdened my heart more than anything else since I've been here. And that is, I sense, as I have moved in your midst for a year, that families are not spending enough time together. Families are not spending enough time together. Dad's off doing this ministry here, doing this ministry there. Mom's off doing this ministry here, doing this ministry there. Good ministries. But it's separating and splitting the family. Our first ministry, parents, is our children. Let me paraphrase something. What does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his family? So what I'm going to give you an opportunity to do next Sunday, it's Mother's Day, and that's why we're dealing with this area of children, is I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment that this summer your family will spend one night a week as family night. I'm going to encourage Tuesday night as that night, and we're going to try to eliminate everything at the church on Tuesday night, because sometimes churches are guilty of splitting families by asking you to be here and there and everywhere every other night of the week. But if that's not a good night for you, you can choose any night you want, but choose one night a week and you'll clear everything off the calendar. You won't let things get in the way of it. If it's Tuesday night and another family calls you up and says, hey, we'd like you to come over and cook burgers with us, you say, man, we'd love to, but we have committed ourselves to spend time as a family this night together. And you'll understand if you're the family inviting them. We have got to spend more time as families. You might want to go out on a picnic together. You might want to go down to Six Flags. I mean, you just decide what you want to do, but spend time together as a family, relating, communicating. At least one night. Now, you know, it'd be great if you spend more, but at least one. Will you commit to do that? We have got to spend time if we're going to translate the heart we have for God to our children. Things are caught much more than they're taught. So there's that lifestyle, living the Christian life and them seeing your heart for God. A third aspect of it, I think, is that teachable moment. Because you have instructed them in the Word of God verbally, because you are living the life and giving them a Christian worldview, that comes that moment, that teachable moment when they've got a problem or something's going on in their life and they come to you and say, you know, so-and-so's going on at school. And they are teachable. And at that time, you take the truth of God and you apply it to their situation. You show them how to go to God when they have problems and find principles in His Word and apply those principles to their situation. Like at school, somebody's acting ugly to them at school. And they come and they're hurt because of it. Now you say, I know it hurts. Let's see what God's Word says about that. God says, bless those who curse you. He says, love your enemies. Now, I know you want to be ugly back to them, but let's pray and ask God to help you be loving to that person, to be kind to that person, and teach them when those moments come that they're really open. We all have them. And we all have them. You know, and when those moments come, we need to seize them. You know, we have them as adults. I mean, I'll preach on a subject and I'll cover everything to do with that subject. Maybe it's something to do with child rearing or problems. And somebody come up to me who was in the sermon, they come up to me a month later and I say, preacher, you know, I'm having this problem with my kid and I just don't know what to do. And I think to myself, man, I told you what to do a month ago and you were there. What was wrong? Well, the problem was it wasn't that teachable moment. See, they were not really open for the truth and they were thinking about something else. Now they're open. I've got their attention. They're open to be taught. So that teachable moment, again, if you don't spend time with your children, you'll miss those teachable moments. Somebody else will be there. It might be a peer. And the information they give won't be what they need to hear probably. Might be somebody else, a teacher, that might not give the right information during that teachable moment. You need to be there for them. Also, look what God says in His Word concerning us instructing our children. He doesn't just say it once. Look over in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Some of you have been thinking, well, boy, I'm sure glad my children are grown. I can relax. Nope. Look at this verse, grandparents. Deuteronomy 4, verse 8. Or what nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? I mean, God was saying, what nation in the world has the instructions, has the principles that are righteous and godly as you have, Israel? Nobody did. I can rightly say to you as a Christian, what other people have the righteous truth of God more than we have it? Nobody. You won't find righteousness in the world. Reading some secular psychologist on family raising, the truth of God, that's where we find it. Look at what he says, verse 9. Only heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your, what's that, grandparents? Grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Grandparents, you have responsibility too. Grandparents, teach your grandchildren. Take the opportunity that they're with you to instruct them in God's truth, to live the Christian life before them, to let them see your heart for God. And you might be there when that teachable moment comes and you'll be able to teach them in the ways of God. Also look in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. Again, God commands it. Deuteronomy 11:18. You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That means spending time with them and sharing with them things of God. Well, what things of God are we to share with our kids? Preach, you say teach them the principles of God. Teach them, well, what principles do you have in mind? I mean, I don't know where to start. Well, you came to the right place. I'm going to share with you 12 biblical principles that I believe are basic if we are going to lead our children to grow up to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and might. Now, these are not exhaustive, and you could probably add others to them. But these, I believe, are basic. And I believe we must not leave any of these out. And we're going to cover four today, hopefully, and then we will cover more next week. The first one is, teach your child to love God in a practical way. Teach him to love God in a practical way. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might. Well, how do you do that? How do you love God? What are some practical ways we can express our love for God? What are some practical ways that our children can express their love for God? Well, first, relate God's love to his everyday life. Now, you will need to age adjust these recommendations for the age of your children. But relate God's love to his everyday life. Tell him about God's concern for his daily activities. He comes home and shares with you problems at school, problems he's having on the Little League team, or problems that he's having here or there at church or wherever else, then relate those problems to God's concern. Say, well, let's see what God says about this. Or let's pray about this. Let's take this to the Lord in prayer. Relate what he is going through to God's concerns. And you may think, man, that's not a big concern. I mean, here I am facing probably a layoff at work, and she's upset because this guy didn't say hey to her today. It is a major problem to them, then you need to be concerned about it as well. And God is concerned about things that concern us. And so relate God's concern. Bring God to the place that they see God concerned about their life. He's not just a God for mom and dad, but he's a God who's concerned about me as a child as well. Now sometimes when you run into some opportunities to teach when you pray with your children, especially the younger ones. I went in about a week or so ago to pray with our six-year-old daughter. And she said, before we prayed, she said, you know, God doesn't love me. And I said, Brittany, why would you say that? She says, because he doesn't do what I tell him to do. And I thought a minute, and I said, well, I can see where she got that from. I mean, we tell her, if you love us, you'll obey us. Well, she naturally assumes if God loved her, he'd obey her. And I said, well, Brittany, it doesn't quite work that way. I mean, God doesn't have to obey us. We have to obey him. And he doesn't have to give you everything you ask for in prayer. In fact, you go and ask him if it's what he wants you to have. If it's best for you to have, then he will give it to you. So you are to obey him. Just like you have to obey mom and daddy, we don't have to obey you. So it gives some interesting times to bring out some truth, those teachable moments. Relate God to his world. As you're out taking a walk, talk about God and the trees, and God created the trees and why he created them. Just the beauty of the color in this time of the year. Isn't it beautiful creation, the flowers and the beautiful green and the blue sky? I mean, why God created those colors? Why is there so much green and blue? And they're such soothing colors to our eyes. Just share God's love and relate God to his world. Second thing you need to do is make time each day to be with God in a special way. Show him the importance of spending time each day with God. Now this, in early years, I mean when they're one, two or so, begin reading Bible stories to them or begin telling them Bible stories. Begin showing them pictures of biblical times and pointing out Jesus. When they become three or so, then they're old enough to have some devotional times at the table perhaps or before they go to bed. And it will be short. It will be brief. You'll have just maybe a song or so and a short Bible story. But you begin to show them that we need to have a time with God every day, a special time. Let them see you spending time with God. Let them see you on your knees in prayer. Let them see you opening up the Word, that you're having special time with God. Bible games are a tremendous way, again, to reinforce biblical truth with children, particularly younger children. As they get older, again, share about God answering prayers in your life. Incorporate your children in your prayer concerns. Again, age appropriate. Get them to pray with you about needs. You know, it's a good possibility Dad might lose his job. We need to pray. They're doing layoffs at work. Let's pray that God will protect or provide what He wants for us to have. Incorporate them into the prayers and make a list of those. And when God answers, come back and say, you know, kids, God answered this prayer. Share the answers with them as well. And then when they get older, lead them to have their own personal prayer time and Bible study time with God. A rule around our house is when they get 9 years of age, they're expected to have their own personal quiet time. But what we found is they begin before that because we have instructed them in having time with God every day as they're growing up. They see us having time with God. They see older sisters having time with God. And they begin to want to have their own special time with God. And so teach them how to do that. Teach them how to have a prayer list and divide up certain days what you pray for. Teach them how to set a certain time. Help them with devotional guides to help them in their Bible study. Hold them accountable. Talk to them. Say, how did your Bible study time go today? What's God saying to you in your quiet time? And talk with them about their quiet time and help them and instruct them. And this will help them love God in a practical way. Second principle. Teach your children to have a proper self-image. Teach them to have a proper self-image. Mark 12:31. Jesus is quoting actually from Deuteronomy when he speaks of the greatest commandment. And then he adds, the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, if you don't love yourself, if you don't accept yourself, you're not going to be able to love other people. One of the classes this morning studied that we have trouble loving people because of our hang-ups. Many of those hang-ups we picked up in our earlier years. And so it's important that our children have a proper self-image, that they have a proper self-acceptance. And do you know who the primary image shapers are? The parents. When that kid comes into this world, he doesn't know anything about image, who he is or anything else. And you, as a parent, are the primary image shapers in that child's life. And we must convey a proper self-image. Well, what is a proper self-image? First, I think it is, from those first 3 or 4 years, they need to realize that they are a gift of God to you. God has given you to us as a gift. The Bible says children are a gift of the Lord. And we are so glad God's given you to us as a gift. Secondly, they need to realize that as God's gift to you, that you love them and accept them unconditionally. That they don't have to earn your love. They don't have to earn your acceptance. That you love them unconditionally and you will always love them no matter what they do. Even when you might be angry at them for something they have done and you may have to discipline them, you still love them. You love them because they are God's special gift to you. And then thirdly, that they are a welcomed member of the family. They're a welcomed member of the family. Now, they're not the center of the family. That's a mistake some parents make, that they give the kid the idea that this kid is the center of our family. And you know what happens? That kid grows up to be improperly self-imaged. They think they're greater than everybody. Man, I am better than anybody. Everybody ought to do what I want them to do. Because mom and dad's always done everything they wanted to do. They've been the center of the home. So they're not to be the center of the home, but a welcomed member of the family. You say, well, how do I convey this unconditional love and acceptance from our children? Well, you do that 4 ways. One way is through eye contact. It's amazing what we can convey to people by simply contacting and looking at their eyes. Take your child sometime. Just put them in your lap, the younger ones, and just look them right in the eye and just say, I love you. You know, you're God's special gift to us. And we'll love you no matter what you do. We'll never stop loving you. And we may get angry. We may have to discipline you, but we'll always love you. Just look them in the eye. When you speak to them, look at them. Look at them. You can tell people whose parents looked at them because they look at you when they talk to you. Those that don't, you talk to them and they're looking all around. Look at people in the eyes. It's something that conveys. The eyes are the window of the soul. And when you look at somebody in the eyes, you can just make contact with their spirit. And you need to do that. You want to make contact with the heart of your child and the spirit of your child. Second thing is physical touch. Physical touch. During those earlier years in particular, you should be hugging your children appropriately and kissing them and just showing them how much you love them as they get older, and you may need to wrestle with them if they're guys, but that physical contact is important. Even when they get up in the teenage years, a hug, a pat on the back is needed. You need that physical contact. Somebody said we all have an emotional tank, and that tank needs to be filled up. And one of the ways it gets filled up is by hugs from mom and dad. You know, I have an emotional tank, and I tell my kids, I got to have so many hugs from y'all during the day to get my tank filled up. And sometimes they'll just come up and say, Dad, my tank is low. I need to be hugged. And you need to be hugged, right? We all need that physical contact. And dads, let me warn you, if you don't fill that daughter's emotional tank up during those earlier years by being affectionate to her, appropriate affection, she's going to find a guy who will fill that tank up when she gets older. So we need to make sure that we're appropriate physical touch with our children. Again, this helps them to sense you love them. Another thing is focused attention. That's when you get your child one-on-one and they get the impression that at that time in space, they are the most important thing in your life. That you're giving them focused attention. You're talking to them, you're relating to them, and you're not letting anything distract you. Now, the more children you get, the harder it is to do this, but it needs to be done. If you need to take them out somewhere and to get a Coke or go get ice cream or something, but they need to sense that I'm important to my dad, I'm important to my mom, and they're spending time with me. That's important. That's one of the advantages of homeschooling. It gives so many opportunities for you to do that as a parent because you're home there and you can have that focused time. Another thing is loving discipline. You know, sometimes parents think, well, if I discipline my kid, they won't love me. But you know, just the opposite is true. If you discipline them, they will love you. If you don't discipline them, they will not grow up to respect you or care for you. So we must give them that proper self-image of acceptance unconditionally and love. Now, as they hit five or so, another verse comes to mind. And that's over in Romans 12, verse 3. And that says, every man among you ought not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Now, we do not want to have an improper view of ourselves, thinking we're too great or thinking that we're nothing. We need to have a proper self-image. And the sound judgment says that when they get around five or so, you begin to convey to them, yes, you are a gift of God to us. Yes, we do love you unconditionally and we accept you unconditionally. But we want you to know that there's something in you called sin that's causing a separation between you and a holy God. And that there's nothing you can do to remove that separation. But God has done everything necessary through His Son Jesus to remove that separation so that you can have peace with God. That Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on that cross. He came alive from the dead. And that you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And we want to convey to them that they need to have that peace that comes from a proper relationship to God through Jesus Christ. As they grow in their Christian life, you want to convey to them that their abilities, their talents are given to them by God. That it's nothing that they should take pride in themselves and be boastful, but they should thank God that He's given them those abilities, those gifts. You see, another thing is we must teach them humility. Believe it or not, it is through humility that we really gain a sense of self-worth. You see, as I give you respect, as I treat you as a person of worth, that in turn gives me a sense of worth. And the biblical pattern for worth is humiliation. For those who humble themselves, God will exalt. And so give them a proper self-image. Third thing we need to teach them, and we probably will not get through four today, I'll stop with number three, is we need to teach them respect for authority. We must teach our children respect for authority. If there is any one thing that our families in America are missing today, it is this truth. You just talk to some of the teenagers, you just talk to some of the children, and you'll sense they have no respect for you as an adult at all. You talk to the school teachers. No respect for authority. And you know where that's got to be learned? It's got to be learned in the home. Now you may be thinking, well, you know, what's the big deal? Well, turn over to Exodus chapter 21. God says it's a real big deal. Exodus 21. Look in verse 15. You say, but we're not under the old covenant. That is true. But the principles still hold forth. And if God says something is worthy of death, capital punishment, I think it's important for me not to do that, don't you? Deuteronomy 21:15. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Look at verse 17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's strong, isn't it? God is serious about respect for authority. And God knows that where that respect starts is in the home. In fact, I am becoming more and more convinced that the only place that proper respect for authority can be learned is in the home. You say, well, what about the Marines? I mean, they'll teach them respect for authority. They will, but you know what's missing? The love. The love. And you must understand love if you're going to properly understand authority. Oh yeah, this guy may learn respect in a sense for authority when he's in the Marines, but you know what he does? He comes home and he's a Marine sergeant at home with his kids and his wife. He doesn't know the love. He hadn't sensed the love. You've got to balance the authority with the love, you see. And that can be done in the home. That's where it's learned, because that's where the love is coupled with the authority. And they see father's a loving leader. They see the love of mother. And they learn it in the home as they see father respecting authorities at work, respecting authorities at church, respecting the authorities in our government. As they see you, Dad, respecting authority, they learn it. They learn it, mothers, they see you respecting Dad and giving him the respect and honor Scripture says that he is to have. They see that in you, and it teaches them respect for authority. God says in Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and your mother. It is so important. It is there that we learn authority and respect for authority in the home, and therefore we'll respect it when we go other places. Well, what does that mean? That means you're not to allow your children to be disrespectful. Now, because they indwell in sin, they're going to naturally be disrespectful. And you don't put up with it. You do not allow it. You call them to task when they are disrespectful, when they speak back and want to sass back. You don't put up with it. Nothing in the Scripture teaches that at all. Now, I know the modern ideas say, well, let them express themselves. And I tell my kids, you can express yourself, but you do it biblically. And you do it with the right attitude. You know, if I make you angry, you can say in the right way, Father, that makes me angry. I don't mind that. But you say it right. And you have the right attitude. We don't put up with sass. When guys get around 12 or 13 fathers and they begin to think they can sass mom, you need to step in and say, you will not do that in this house. That's my wife you're talking to, and you'll not talk to her that way. Now, you'll have to reckon with me. You've got to stand for it and stand up for that respect. Don't allow disrespect. Something I think is a good Southern custom is a yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Now, I know some folks who've grown up in the North don't appreciate this. Rick Hyden, for one.
Now, wait a minute.
But you are in the South now, so as you're in Rome, do as the Romans. You're in the South, do as the Southerners. But if you're not comfortable with the yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, at least yes, father, yes, mother. Not yeah, nah. You know, yes, Mr. So-and-so. No, Mrs. So-and-so. Respect is important. And just the way we speak to people who are in positions of authority conveys our respect or our lack of respect. And so let me encourage you to have your children verbally show respect for those in authority. for adults and others. These are three principles that if you will begin with these principles, you will start teaching your children how to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, Lord willing, next week we'll begin to look at number four and go as far as we can go. I'm not in any hurry because this is stuff we need to hear, don't we? Practical ways you can teach your children to love God. Take the list that we've covered so far. Parents, go home this week and say, how are we doing in this? How are we doing in conveying a proper self-image to our children? How are we doing in teaching them to respect authority? Teaching them to respect us? How are we doing in relating God to their everyday life and teaching them how to love God in a very practical way? And then if you need to change some things, make some changes. If you're doing some things right, thank the Lord. Keep on doing it. But children don't just happen to grow up to be godly children. The Bible says, blessed is a man whose quiver is full. You know, arrows don't just happen, they're made. You don't just find a perfectly straight stick and put an arrowhead on the front of it. It has to be carved. It has to be straightened. Children have to be raised, trained to be godly. They don't just come in the world godly. And it's our responsibility to do that. Let's do it. The only way our nation is going to come back to God is if our children come to God. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that as parents, the awesome responsibility you've placed upon us. You've given us these children as a gift, and we are to be a steward of those gifts. We know that your grace is sufficient for our greatest need. May we be those parents by your grace. May we take these principles and ask ourselves, are we imparting these principles to our children in our daily lives, in our verbal instruction, in those teachable moments? In Jesus' name, amen.